You know, normally Beis Din has certain rules and procedures, and only for certain crimes could somebody be put to death. And yet, yesterday we learned that there are all sorts of crimes that moridin velo malin, that we arrange for the person to die, even though it's not Beis Din. So the Chazon Ish explains that the idea of moridin velo malin is that one of the responsibilities of Beis Din is lemigdar milta, is to keep the community straight. Like if you see that things are happening that require drastic measures can be taken. Sort of like the idea of Yesh Koach Biat Chachamim Lakor Davar Min HaTorah Behorat Sha'ah, that we learned in Masechet Yevamos. The sages can sometimes suspend the Torah law because that's what the community needs. So Eliyahu, he offered sacrifices on Har HaKarmel, even though you had a Beit HaMikdash and you can't offer sacrifices outside of the temple. That's what the community needed. Horat Sha'ah, for that moment. In a similar way, a Beis Din can issue rulings, L'migdar Milsa, to keep people straight. So the Shulchan Aruch says that even nowadays, we don't have smuchin. Even though we don't have smuchin, our courts could give lashes, our courts could even put to death. L'migdar Milsa, if that's what the community needs, if that's what, you know, the extreme moments call for, that's what could be done. So the Chazon Ish says that this Gemara that we learned yesterday, that there's such a thing as moridin velo malin, that's not normal procedure. That's not normal law. That must have been an enactment, l'migdar milsa. At some point, I guess, you know, times of the Romans, there was a problem with early Christians, there was a problem with heretics and snitches and people who were endangering Jewish lives. So the court said, you know, that these people were suspending normal procedure, were suspending normal law, and moridim v'lo malin, you can arrange for them to die. So the Chazon Ish then goes a step further. He said, since this was an enactment, l'migdar milsa, then he thinks that this enactment no longer applies. This enactment was only at a time when there was a great degree of, you know, divine supervision. People could see the hand of God in their lives, and even though God was so apparent, they were mumrim lahachis, they were minim, they were mosrim, they were doing all these terrible things. He said, nowadays, when there's such a amount of hiding of God's face, he doesn't think the enactment was ever made for such times. And nowadays, the Chazon Ish says, we should try to draw everybody close, ba'avutos ha'ahava, with the chains of love. That's the Chazon Ish. That was his analysis.
So then the reforms are...
We have to try to draw them close with the avutos ha'ahava, with the chains of love, even though what they say is very, very obnoxious and very wrong. Very wrong.
Okay, the second question I have for the Brit Milah. If the father is away on the eighth day,
right?
Shouldn't they wait for the father to come in? Or
No, that was the Avnei Nezer's Chiddush. We don't wait for the father. Better to do the eighth day than to wait for the father on the ninth day.
What happened to me, in respecting the father and mother, that in there?
You're doing him a favor that his child gets a bris milah as soon as possible and doesn't violate the law.
More important than,
yeah, that's right. This is a big favor. It's a wonderful thing.
Rabbi, our attitudes haven't changed though towards
the kutim, right? That hasn't changed.
Isn't that the against love thy neighbor like yourself? Doesn't it go against
They're not our neighbors, the Kutim. They're not fellow Jews. They're not our neighbors. They're not our fellow Jews. Neighbor means Re'acha b'mitzvos, your friend in mitzvos. They don't do mitzvos. They're idolaters.
So any Jew that doesn't do the mitzvos, they cannot consider their brothers?
So the Jews, we say they are, because as we just said from the Chazon Ish, that they live in a time when we don't have such reveal divine guidance. But the Kutim are idolaters. They worship idols up there. Kutim are different.
But the Rebbe says any Jews that have Jewish neshama in them is all brothers. You know,
that's so true. Right? But that's for the Jews, brother. But not the Kutim, not the Samaritans.
No, if a
we would not... he wouldn't be trying to help the Samaritans. Okay, so we are here on Chaf Vav Amud Beis. I want to give a very warm welcome to the Gdansky Shkoach for joining us. So we are here on Chaf Vav Amud Beis. We're talking about Bris Milah. So let's start at the wide line, the first of the wide lines on the bottom of Chaf Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara now asks, Vasava Rabbi Meir Ovid Kochavim Lo, is Rabbi Meir of the opinion that a Gentile should not be allowed to do Bris Milah, even if there are Jews standing over him, because maybe he's going to castrate the child, or Minu, but I'll ask you, I'll challenge you, we learned, Irshain Barofa Yisrael, let's say a city doesn't have a Jewish surgeon, doesn't have a Jewish mohel, the Yesh Barofa Kuti, but it has a Samaritan who's a circumciser, another option, it has a Gentile, an idolater. So, what do you do? Yimol Ovid Kochavim al Yimol Kuti, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says, have the idolater do the Bris Milah, not the Samaritan. Because the Samaritan, as Rashi explains, Mal ashamed Musyona, he's going to do the circumcision for the sake of this pigeon, this dove. Shematzu Barosh Har Grizim, that they had found on the top of Mount Grizim, Mount Bracha, for them, it's a type of service. As the Gemara says in Chulin, the Kutim, they do circumcision for this dove. That's the view of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, Yimol Kuti, Val Yimol Ovid Kochavim. Better to have the Samaritan do it, and not the non-Jew, because the non-Jew might kill the kid. But the Samaritan, he's not going to kill the kid. The Samaritan is okay. So what do you see? Rabbi Meir is the one who says that the non-Jews should do it. I thought you just said Rabbi Meir is the one who's afraid of the non-Jews. So Ipach, we have to flip who said what. Rabbi Meir, Omer Yimol Kuti Velovid Kochavim. Rabbi Meir is the one who says, let the Samaritan do it and not the non-Jew. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ovid Kochavim Velo Kuti. The non-Jew should do it, not the Samaritan. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Misav Rabbi Yehuda Ovid Kochavim Shapir Dami. Can we say that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who thinks that a non-Jew, that an idolater, a Roman pagan, can do circumcision? V'atana b'ilin din abraisa. Rabbi Yehuda says, minayin l'mila bovid kocham shipsula. How do we know that if a Roman, if an idolater, a non-Jew does circumcision, it's not a kosher circumcision, shenamer, because Hashem tells Avram Avinu, v'atana you as b'si tishmor, you shall keep my covenant. The covenant is only for Avram and his descendants, not for the Romans. Ella, so what do you have to say? Lolam lo tepoch. You have to say, no, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the non-Jews can't do it and the Kuti should do it. Rabbi Meir is the one that the non-Jews should do it. We just said that according to Rabbi Meir, we don't want to have non-Jews doing Bris Milah, even with a Jew watching them, because we're worried that they're going to castrate the child. When would Rabbi Meir allow a non-Jewish surgeon to do the Bris Milah? If this is a well-known expert, he's an expert surgeon, he has a professional reputation to maintain. As Rashi explains, Lomara Nafshe, he's not going to harm himself, L'shvuye Kroshivcha, to make this baby castrated, to wound the baby. He's going to lose his good ranking. He's, you know, on the list of the best surgeons. So he's not going to do it. So even though he's a non-Jew, and even though the non-Jews hate us, and even though the non-Jews, when they can, they try to harm us, but he has a major motivation not to, because he's an expert surgeon, he has a reputation to maintain. So here, Rabbi Meir allows him to do it, better him than the Kuti, according to Rabbi Meir, because the Kuti would do the circumcision for the sake of Avodah Zarah. Dechiyasa, Rav Dini, please.
Would a Bris Milah performed in a hospital by a non-Jewish doctor be considered as valid for a Jewish baby?
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like, right? That's what we said yesterday. Just there's an argument. Some say they're, according to Rabbi Yehuda, not, because Rabbi Yehuda says it has to be a Jewish doctor, because he says it's only Avram Avinu and his children. So do we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Do we not pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Shulchan Aruch seems to say we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Ramah seems to say that maybe we do. So the Ramah says you should do a tafas dam bris. The bris milah did work, or we do a little pinprick to get a little blood out by the Jew.
Rabbi, did this reference to the Samaritan in English, when we say to be like a good Samaritan, yeah, is it anything to do with this?
It is. It's exactly that. The
That's what made him good.
In the New Testament, the Samaritan helps out, whereas the Pharisee, the Jew, does not. So as part of the Christian agenda to push people away from being nice to Jews, they say the Samaritans are the good. They're the ones who help out. The Jews don't. So that's exactly where it comes from. The same people. These are the Samaritans, the Kutim. They're still there. They're still there in Shechem. They live in Shechem.
How important, they talk about this in Kabbalah, how important it is for a mohel to be purely a tzaddik person.
It's true.
It's amazing. It's very, very important, because the effect of him on the Brit Milah, goes to the child, and, very, very important
very
to have a tzaddik.
Beautiful.
To do as a mohel. Yeah.
Good, even better. Techias Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came on, Rav Yochanan, send Rav Yochanan, if the non-Jew is an expert to the masses, mutter, he can do the circumcision. So Gemara said, let's go back. What are we saying now? We're saying that according to Rav Yehuda, the non-Jew can't do it. The Kuti could do it. And according to Rav Meir, normally a non-Jew can't do it. But a non-Jew is an expert, could do it, and that's better than a Kuti, because the Kuti is going to do it for idolatry. So Gemara now asks, the Savra of Yehuda, Kuti Shapir Dami, would Rabbi Yehuda hold that a Samaritan could do the Bismila? Well, time we learned in a Braisa, Yisrael Malosakuti. A Jew can do Bismila on a Samaritan, but Kuti lo yamu Yisrael. The Samaritan should not do Bismila on a Jew, because he's going to do the Bismila for the sake of the statue that's there on Mount Gerizim, the Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Amal Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi says to Rabbi Yehuda, V'chiecha matzina milu min atara l'shma. Where do you find that the bris milah has to be for a certain sake, for the sake of the mitzvah? So the Kuti has the wrong motivation. So what? But the point is, the child is gemalit. The child is circumcised. Ela, so according to Rabbi Yossi, mal v'holeich, the Kuti can do circumcision. V'holeich ad shetetze nishma, so until he dies. In other words, you can have a Kuti mohel and let him keep doing it until he dies. What do you mean, until he dies? Rabbi Yossi gives him a curse, because at the end of the day, he's doing circumcision for that idol. So it's not a good thing, but the brismila is a kasher brismila. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a kasher brismila. So Eliolam is really what we have to do. April kedabchina meikara. We have to flip who says what the way we originally flipped it. We have to say, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that that when you have a city with a without a Jewish mohel, but there is a Samaritan surgeon and there is a Gentile surgeon, so let the Gentile do it and not the Kuti. That's the view of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Meir is the one who says let the Kuti do it and not the Gentile. So now, one second, we have a contradiction. But here we're saying the Gentiles should do it, but we learned in another braisa, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says Gentiles can't do bris milah because they're not descendants of Avram Avinu. Hahi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That is the view of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It's two different Rabbi Yehudas. The time we looked in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says, Minayin lemila bovid kochavim shipsula. How do we know that the circumcision done by the Romans, by the Gentiles, is no good? Time alone, because the Prasik says, to Avram Avinu, Vata, and you as Brisi Tishmor, and you shall keep my covenant. So, that's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. But the Rabbi Yehuda who argues with Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, who was the student of Rabbi Akiva, was not the contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He's the contemporary of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. So he's the one who says, no, that the non-Jews could do Bris Milah, and he feels a non-Jew is better than a Kuti, because the Kuti, he feels, will do the Brit Milah for the sake of a statue, and the non-Jew is just cutting the skin, but not for the sake of any statue.
Don't they require that at least the non-Jew already being circumcised?
No.
There is no prerequisite for that?
No. So Amar Rav Chizda said, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda? Right? After all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu, V'atas b'si tishmar, you shall keep my covenant. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say that a non-Jew could do it? The non-Jew is not a descendant of Avram Avinu. The reason Rabbi Yehuda d'chsev, because the pasuk goes on to say, the pasuk says, Lahashem himo. Pasuk says, V'asa Pesach. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that a kuti can't do it? I mean, didn't Rabbi Yossi say it doesn't matter what the motivation is? The main thing is that it be circumcised. Rabbi Yehuda will say, I think from a pasuk that it does matter what the motivation is. The pasuk says about bris milah, v'chiyagur it chager, v'asa Pesach Lahashem, himo lo kol zachar, v'azikrav la'aso so, v'ayakez racha aretz, v'chal arelo yochal bo. So it says, v'asa Pesach Lahashem, and then himo. So you could also read it as Lahashem, and then himo. That's to tell you that the circumcision has to be for God's sake. And Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't think that a circumcision has to be for God's sake, he says any circumcision is okay as long as there was a circumcision. That's because there's another pasuk where the pasuk tells Avram Avinu, Himo Yimo Yulid Beischa Miknas Kaspecha Vaisav Risibim V'sarchem L'Vris Olam Himo Yimo. It says they circumcise, he shall be circumcised. The repetition of circumcised, he shall be circumcised, is to include any type of circumcision, even from a non-Jew. V'idach. Now, what would Rabbi Yehuda say back to that? Haksiv Lashem Yimol. So, 1 second. So, you're saying Yimol Yimol to include everything, but it also says Lashem Yimol, circumcised for Hashem. So, he'll tell you, no, Ahu bePesach Siv. The word Lashem is referring to the Pesach. The Pesach has to be slaughtered for Hashem. Yimol is on his own. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the circumcision has to be for the right motivations, and that's why it can't be done by a kuti, because they're doing it for an idolatrous motivation. Aye, but it says, Yimol, Yimol. So he'll tell you, Dibra Torah, Kolashim B'nei Adam. That's just the fact that the Torah sometimes uses language of, that's, you know, the way people speak. The fact that it's repeated, the word Yimol is repeated, is not to teach us a lesson, it's just the way people speak. Okay. So we have here a big dispute amongst the Tanaim, whether a non-Jew can do bris milah or not. So itmar we learned, how do we know that circumcision done by the Romans, by the Gentiles, is no good? So daru bar papa mishmei de rav amar, the Amora daru bar papa, said the name of Rav, the pasuk, v'ata spisi tishmar, Hashem tells Avram Avinu, and you shall keep my covenant, you and your seed. The descendants of Avram do it. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, himol yimol. Since it says himol yimol, so it's saying like this. Hamol, this is what Baruch is bringing up. Someone who is himself circumcised, hamol, the one who is circumcised, yimol, he should do circumcision. The Romans, they're not circumcised, so how could they do circumcision on us? So, my benai, what's the difference between what's your source to disqualify the non-Jew from doing circumcision? The difference would be the Arabs and the Givonim. Aravi mol v'givnoni mol iko benayu. An Arab who has a circumcision or a Givoni who has a circumcision. So, that's the difference. Amadamar himo yimol. If you want to say that only one who is circumcised can do the circumcision, ika. The Arabs have a circumcision, so they'd be able to do the circumcision. But if it's a command to Avram Avinu, you have the circumcision, and you and your seed have the mitzvah of circumcision, not those who are not credited as your seed. So then lekas, even though these people did circumcision, but they're not considered the seed of Avram, because it says, Ki b'Yitzchak ikare l'chazara. Only Yitzchak is considered your seed, and even within Yitzchak, it's only b'Yitzchak, some of Yitzchak, not all of Yitzchak, only Yaakov, not Esav. So Gemara asks, 1 second, according to the one who says that the reason why we know that a non-Jew can't do the circumcision on a Jew is because it says, which means those who are circumcised should circumcise. Who cares that the Arab has a circumcision on him? He's still not considered circumcised. He's not called a circumcised one. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah? A man who says, I'm taking a vow, a neder, that I'm not going to get any benefit from those who are uncircumcised. He says, I'm not going to get any benefit from those who are uncircumcised. So, what about Jews? Mutter bar Eile Yisrael. So then he's allowed to get benefit from the uncircumcised Jews. Because even though they're uncircumcised, they're really considered circumcised. V'asr b'muli ovdei kochavim. And if you have a non-Jew who has that skin cut off, he's still not allowed to get benefit from him because he's still considered an Arel. Almost, what do you see? Afagav de Mehili, even if an Arab or a Givoni cuts off their foreskin. Kamad lo Mehili Damu, they still have the status of Lomahu. They're still called Arel. So if they're still called Arel in regards to Nidarim, they should still be called Arel in regards to this pasuk, that only Himol, only those who are Mahul, those who have a circumcision, can do it on somebody else. And they're not considered to have had a circumcision on them. So the Gemara says, you're right. The difference between these two sources, whether the reason why the non-Jew is disqualified is Va'atas Pisi Tishmar, or the non-Jew disqualified because he himself is not Mahul and it's Himol Yimol. Yisrael Shemesu Echav Machmas Mila V'lo Maluhu. A Jew who didn't get a bris mila because his other two brothers died from their bris mila, so that he didn't have to have a bris mila. So l'man damar v'atas b'si tishmar, if you're going to say it has to be the seed of Avram doing bris mila, so Ika, he's the seed of Avram, he can do the bris mila. However, l'man damar himo yimo, the one who says that the reason why the non-Jews can't do the bris mila is because those who are circumcised can do the bris mila, those who are not cannot, the non-Jews are not circumcised. This person is also not circumcised. Leka, he's also not circumcised. He couldn't do it. So Gemara says, but the same source that we just learned from the Darim should teach you that he's considered circumcised. Even though he doesn't have a circumcision, but as a Jew, he's called a circumcised one. So then he should be able to do the bris mila. Laman damar himo yimo leka, according to the one who says that the reason why the non-Jews can't do it is because the pasuk says the one who's circumcised shall circumcise. And the non-Jews aren't circumcised. So you're saying this one is also not circumcised. Vatnam, we just learned in the Mishnah. Konam shani nanami mulim, a person who says a vow that I will not get any benefit from those who have bris mila. Aser bareli Yisrael. So if he said he's not going to get benefit from those who have bris mila, he can't get benefit from a Jew who's not circumcised. Because a Jew who's not circumcised is considered having had a circumcision. He's part of the Jewish people. Umotur b'moli ovni kochavim. He says he's not going to get benefit from those who have bris mila. It means he's not going to get benefit from the Jews. So a non-Jew, even with a bris mila, is not a Jew. He's not called mol. Alma, so you see from that halacha in Nedarim, even though they don't have a bris mila, command mehili dami, a Jew is considered mahul even without a bris mila. So that couldn't be the difference between these two opinions. Ella, so I'll tell you what the difference is. Whether we disqualify the non-Jews from the fact that they're not the seed of Avram, or we disqualify them from the fact that they are not considered circumcised. Ika beinai, the difference would be Isha, a woman as a mohel. Lamadamar Vatas Brisi Tishmar Leka. If you're gonna say that the reason why the non-Jews can't do it is because of Vatas Brisi Tishmar, that only you can do it, so then Leka. So then the woman shouldn't be able to do bris mila. Isha lav bas milahi, because a woman doesn't have bris mila, she can't do it. However, but if you say it's from the words yihimol yimol, then a woman should be able to be a mohel. Tisha command a mehila dami, because a woman is considered circumcised. She's considered a Jew. She has kedushas Yisrael. So Gemara says, how could anyone say that a woman can't do bris mila? Can anyone say that a woman can't do bris mila? The wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, Tzipora, did it. Vaksiv, the pasuk says, vatikach Tzipora tzor. Tzipora took the rock. Vatzich roses are las bina, and she cut the foreskin of her son. Vatikach Tzipora tzor, she took the rock. So maybe not, maybe she didn't do it. Kriba, read it as vatakach, she made it to be taken. She told a man, take a rock. Ivoksi vatzich ros, it says, and she cut off the foreskin. Kriba vatachres, she made the foreskin cut. She got that guy to cut. Ta'amra le'in shachrinav avin. Maybe she told somebody else to do it, and he's the one who did it. By the same alternatively, you can say maybe Dasi Vatchala. She started the circumcision. Vasya Moshe Vagmara, but Moshe finished the cut. So since Moshe finished the cut, it's considered Moshe doing the circumcision. And maybe a woman can't do circumcision. Maybe because the Pasuk says, right, going back to that Pasuk, Vatas Brisi Tishmar, Atav is Arecha Acharecha Ledorosam. And you will keep my covenant, you and your seed, after for all generations. Maybe it has to be like you, it has to be like Avram Avinu, and therefore a woman would not be able to do the bris mila. What's the halacha? One second, let's just see what the halacha is. The halacha is in terms of who can do
bris mila.
Yes, correct. So the halacha is that who can do the bris milah? Everyone can do bris milah, the Shulchan Aruch says. Even a slave, even a woman, even a child, even a Jew who doesn't have a bris milah because his brothers died because of bris milah. Now, if you have a regular healthy Jewish man, he should come before the others. But if he's not available, then all these others can do it. But some say that a woman should not do bris milah. This is the psak of the Rama, right? The Rama says some say women should not do bris milah, and he says v'chei noagin lahadir acher ish. And that's the custom to try to insist on having a man to do the bris milah.
So if you have two brothers die of circumcision, okay, yeah, for bris milah, the third brother
doesn't get a bris milah.
Doesn't get one. It's allowed, right?
So, Rabbi, the Muslim who has a circumcision.
Yeah.
We don't recognize that as a covenantal sort of
correct.
So whether he has or he doesn't, from our perspective, makes no difference.
At least in terms of Nedarim, and certainly in terms of Kedushas Yisrael, but the Rambam is of the opinion that that in actuality, we are obligated to give the Muslims a circumcision, because Hashem told Avraham, you do bris milah, and Hashem said, Ata v'zaracha charecha, you and your seed after you. So that excludes the Shema, because the Pasuk says, Bi Yitzchak yikarei lecha zara. But Avraham had children after Yishmael. He had the children of Keturah. And the Rambam says those children of Keturah were obligated in bris milah, and the children of Keturah have intermarried with the Muslims. So the Rambam says that today the Arabs, you don't know, any Arab who comes to you, maybe he's an Arab descendant of Yishmael, or maybe he's a descendant of the children of Keturah. So the Rambam says that we are obligated to give bris milah to Arabs, because the not because of the Arab part, because of the children of Keturah that are in them.
But they do it at the age of 13, Rabbi?
They do it at 13.
And I saw one of them, and the guy fainted. They have no idea. But
sure, that's tough.
Rabbi, when you make, when a Jew does a circumcision on a kuti, the one with the rachon.
Oh, well, it depends on that whole question, whether the kutim are Jews or not, right?
So that's my question.
It was the machlokas of the Tanaim. I don't think so. I don't think you make a bracha. Correct. That's correct.
Which bracha?
On Mila.
On the
kutis. On the kutis. Okay, next Mishnah. Again, we suspect the worst about the Roman Gentiles. So, what about going to them to get medical care? So the Mishnah says, Misrapid mehen ripui mamon. You can get medical care of money. Avalo ripui nefashos, but not medical care of lives. Ve'im misrapid mehen b'chol makom, div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you can't allow them to be the barber any place. Because how does a barber work? He takes a razor and he hacks off the hair. So if you're going to allow the non-Jew to be the barber, he might cut your neck. So never use him to be the barber, even in public. Dear Rabbi Meir, this is a Rabbi Meir. The Chacham say no, but just a rabbi in the public street. If he's going to be a barber, he's not going to commit a murder in the public street. Mutter, then you can use him as a barber. Because he's afraid about people. But yeah, you can't use him as a barber when it's just you and him, because just you and him, then he might kill you with the razor. Okay? So again, the Mishnah says you can be healed by them, healing of money, but not healing of lives. So what does that mean? My ripui mamun, my ripui nefashos. What does it mean, healing of money and healing of lives? Healing of ripui mamun b'schar. Healing of money means you can't be healed. You can't be healed by them if you're paying them. Ripui nefashos, you could be healed by them b'chinam if it's all for free. So let's should say misrapim mehen b'schar. You can allow yourself to be healed by them if you're going to pay them. Because if you're going to pay them, then the guy's not going to kill you because he's worried he's not going to get paid. Avalo b'chinam. But if he's going to be doing it for free, then you can't do it because he might kill you. So you say that. Say ripui beschar versus ripui bechinam. Why use ripui mamon versus ripui nefashos? So ela ripui mamon means davar shein bo sakana. To be healed by them when you're in a, you know, I don't know, something which is not a danger to you really. Ripui nefash, allergies. Ripui nefashos, to be the healing of life that you can't do. Davar sheyesh bo sakana. If your life is in danger, don't go to the non-Jewish doctor because, you know, he might take advantage to just end your life. So Gemara says, that the case? Amar Rav Yehuda, but didn't Rav Yehuda say, afilu rivda de kusilta lo matzinan minayhu. Even, let's say a Jewish bloodletter let out some blood and you have a pain in your shoulder. We wouldn't let you go to the non-Jewish masseuse to alleviate the pain. So you see, it's all issues. Even when it's not a matter of life and death, we don't go to the non-Jewish doctor. Ela ripui mamon, so what does it mean that you can go to him for the healing of money? It's behemto. You can go to the non-Jewish veterinarian. If your horse is having a cough, you can take him to the non-Jewish veterinarian. Ripui nefashos, but the healing of life you can't do, that means gufe. That means if your body is in any type of danger, any type of illness, you don't go to the non-Jew, even if it's not a danger. And Rav Yehuda, that's Rav Yehuda says, afilu rivda dekusilta, even when it's just to alleviate the pain after a big bloodlet, lo matzina minayu, we wouldn't get the alleviation of the pain from them. Amar Rav Chisda said, Amar Marukva said, avalim amar lo sam ploni yafilo. Let's say the non-Jew just said, you know, this medicine is a good one, or samponi ralo, this herb is a bad one. So then mutter, then you can listen to what that non-Jewish doctor said, and you can carry it out. Why? Because savar, the fact that the doctor is going to think the following: the Jew didn't come to me and ask me to heal him, so that heal me. So that means the Jew doesn't rely on me. Shiule mashulo, he's just asking me. Kiheche de mashulo, the same way he's asking me about this herb, mashulina shachrini, he's asking other doctors. So if he's asking other doctors, so you know what, my professional reputation's in danger if I say, you know, the poison is the right one for him. So asu gavilo ruin nafshe, this guy is going to harm himself. In other words, if I give him the wrong medicine, my reputation is going to be bad. He's not coming to me as a patient. He's not a patient of mine. He's just asking for this opinion, that opinion. He's going to multiple opinions. You know what? I better say the truth, because otherwise my professional reputation will be harmed. So then he's saying the truth, so then he can rely on what he told you. Yeah, Jonathan, a question.
Do we care? Like, maybe, like they do today, there's a Hippocratic Oath that the doctors... they swear that they're going to treat for the good of the patient.
Yeah, but clearly we do, right? Clearly we rely on that.
Right.
So then you shouldn't follow this, Rabbi.
We don't, yeah, that's for sure.
Okay.
We don't.
So I think life and death come.
That's right.
So this is one of the rules that the Besdin could change.
I don't know, Besdin, or maybe it doesn't apply to our non-Jews, as we saw at the very beginning of the Masechta. Tosfos says on Daf Beis that we're not keeping the first law of the Masechta, not to do business with them on their holidays. So maybe our non-Jews are not idolaters. You know, maybe, you know, this was not dealing with the people that we are dealing with. But I see here in the back of this Gemara, they quote Rav Moshe Feinstein about going to a non-Jewish psychologist. Sir Moshe Feinstein said he doesn't think you should go to non-Jewish psychologists. Because he said the psychologists, they're not really using medicines. They're just, you know, talking a person through to figure out what's in his mind and get him to think other thoughts, give him advice. So the non-Jews, you know, they don't know from the Jewish ways. So the advice they're going to say is going to be an attitude that's a very non-Jewish attitude, especially like the Freudian psychologists. They're going to start saying, do He was Jewish, but, you know, his whole attitude is about modesty and immodesty is very much different from ours. Like, he thinks a person has problems because he's not living out his Yetzirah fantasies. So it shouldn't be a good thing to go to. So he said, you can go to other, you know, for other illnesses, you can go to doctors. Because, you know, they're using medications, they're experts. But the psychologists, he thinks, you know, especially the Freudians, he's worried that they're going to really create all sorts of bad thoughts and things.
Rabbi, how about the barber? Does it still apply to halakha, non-Jewish barber?
I don't think
barbers
so.
Barbers were really, they
I don't think so.
His blood letters.
I don't think so.
They're all in public places.
They're all in public places also. All right, let's continue. I'm a rabbi, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi says the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rami, let's say I'm Rabbi Chizam, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chizam said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Suffolk, chai, suffolk, mace. Let's say it's an illness that maybe he's going to live, maybe he's not going to live. Amos, rabbi, mehen. You can't go to them to get healed because they're going to kill. But vaday mace, if it's such a strong illness that if he doesn't do anything, he's certainly going to die. Amos, rabbi, mehen. So you might as well go to the non-Jewish doctor because you only have a chance of gain. There's no chance of harm. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if Vaday Meis, even if he's certainly going to die, but if you go to the non-Jewish doctor and take the risk, maybe he's going to hasten the death. Maybe he's going to die a little bit earlier. Maybe if he wouldn't go, he'd live a little bit longer. You know, when it's something like that, it's just a couple of minutes longer of living, so that we're not worried. Better to take the risk. But we not tell him, how do we know this? That we're not worried that maybe the non-Jew is going to, you know, make the person die a little bit sooner, and there's a chance that the non-Jew would save him. We should take the risk to have the non-Jew try to save him. Because it says, in regards to the four lepers that were sitting outside the city Shomron, and there was a famine, there was no food, they said, what are we going to do? If we're going to say, let's go to the city, there's a famine in the city, we might die there. So we might as well just go to the Aramean camp. So understand, how could they go to the Aramean camp? If they go to the Aramean camp, the non-Jews might kill them right away. But there's a chance the non-Jews will feed them. There's a chance the non-Jews will kill them right away. So see, when you're in that type of a desperate situation, they're dying of starvation. So there's a chance that they could be saved. There's a chance that they could die a little bit earlier. So they might as well go take the chance to maybe be saved. Basically, I'll challenge you. How could you say this? We learned in a braisa. A person shouldn't talk a lot with the heretics because maybe they'll convince him to get into idolatry. And even if a person's dying and there's only a chance, you know, that he'll live a little bit longer if he doesn't go to them. But if he goes to them, there's a chance he'll survive. There's a chance that they might kill him. He can't go to them. Maisa, there was a story in Rabbi Elazar ben Dama, Rabbi Elazar the son of Dama, ben Achosel, Rabbi Shmuel, who was the nephew of Rabbi Shmuel, Shekisho Nachash, that a snake bit him. Uva Yaakov ish Kfar Schanya, so Yaakov ish Kfar Schanya was a well-known heretic, came to Rabbi Oso to heal him. V'lo inicho Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't let him do it. V'amalo, so Rabbi Elazar ben Dama said to Rabbi Shmuel, his uncle, Rabbi Shmuel, Achi, Rabbi Shmuel, my brother, let me be healed by this Christian. I'll prove from a pasuk that it's allowed. And he wasn't even able to prove it. He died because of the poison. And Rabbi said, you're lucky that you died before this non-Jew tried to heal you. Your body stayed pure. And your soul left in a state of purity. You didn't violate the word of the sages. Shayom used to say, don't go to the non-Jewish doctors. And if the rabbis say, don't go to the non-Jewish doctors, a person who breaks the fence that the rabbis make deserves to be bitten by a snake. So the Gemara says, listen, there's a difference between the levels of problems. Shaini minus demasha, to be healed by a heretic, who's, you know, a missionary for his thing, that's a problem, because he might pull you in, he might convince you. But to be healed by a Roman, the Romans are not trying to convince you to become their religion, they might kill you. Okay, but you're going to die anyway. So you might as well go to a doctor who might kill you on the chance that he might save you if you're going to die anyway. But in terms of, you know, going to a doctor who might destroy your soul, as Rachman pointed out yesterday, the worst road in the world is someone who's trying to destroy your soul, amin. So that you shouldn't do. Amar, we learned before this story that Ben Dama, Elazar Ben Dama had gotten bitten by a snake, and there was a doctor available who was an apikores, and Rabbi Shmuel said, you're lucky that you died before he could, you know, before you went to him to be healed. This way you didn't violate the words of your friends, the sages, Shayom, who used to say, someone who breaches the fence should be bitten by a snake. So the Gemara says, well, how did he get help? I mean, after all, he was bitten by a snake, and he died by the snake. So what did he gain by not being bitten by the snake that comes for the people who violate the mandates of the sages? So, you know, he already was bitten by the snake. Answer the Gemara, there are two types of snakes. Someone who, Chavya Drabanan, if you are bitten by a snake for violating the words of the sages, it's a worse bite. It's less le'asuta klal. That's a bite that there's no hope even. You can't possibly be healed. Ben Dama could have been healed. So he ended up not being healed, but at least there was an illness where there was some hope. Whereas, had he gone to this heretic, then he would have been bitten by a snake, and there'd be no way to ever heal it. So the Gemara says, "Umay havalei lemeimer." What was Ben Dama trying to say? What was the pasuk that he was going to say is the proof that he is allowed to go to this heretic for healing? The answer is he was going to say the pasuk, "Keep my mitzvos v'chai bahem," and you should live by the mitzvos, v'lo sheyamos bahem, and not that you should die through the mitzvos. And that's what he was going to say, that you should live by them. Rabbi Shmuel, so what would he say back? Why didn't he permit it based on the pasuk of v'chai bahem? So he'll tell you, no, ani mili, when is it that you're allowed to violate mitzvos when there's a danger? Bitzina, that's in private. Bifarhesya, but in public, lo, that you're not allowed to do in aveira. Tana is looking at a bris. I heard Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion. How do we know that if they tell a person worship idols, and this way you won't be killed? You should in fact worship the idols and not get killed. That's what it says. You should live by the mitzvos, but not to die by them. But that's only in private. Is that even true in public? Do not desecrate my holy name. I should be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people, so that if you're in public, there you need to sanctify the name of God and even be willing to die to avoid violating a Torah law. Any wound that's so dangerous that we would violate Shabbos to heal from it, ein misrapin behen, you can't go to the Roman doctors to heal you for such wounds, because they might kill you. If you could have the others say, I'm Rabbi Brachan Rabbi Yochanan, Chalmaka Shel Chalal, any internal wound, anything that's in the cavity of the body, and Misrapim Mehen, you can't be healed by the non-Jewish doctors, because then the Jew can't see what he's doing, and then maybe he will put an end to a person's life.
Thank you.
Thank you.